doesn't make sense to me. I'm just so mad. I was so mad.
It's my review. The review.
Hi everyone and welcome back to The Review. Lovely to have you back. Just a reminder that anything that I say here is just my personal opinions of each book that I read. You may think that they're better than I think they are. You might think that they're worse than I think that they are. And your opinion is valid, so let's talk about it. Don't feel offended. It's just what I think. It's just what I think. This week, we are looking at, drumroll please, Behind the Scenes by Sarah Alonghe. So this book was gifted to me as a Mother's Day present for my son, so I had to make sure I read it because he kept on asking me and I was reading my last book every day, like,
Mommy, have you read my book yet? Mommy, have you read my book yet? Mommy, have you read my book yet?
About this book. It is an autobiographical account of her failed engagement. I try my best not to do any spoilers, but there's probably going to be a lot of spoilers in this one, so
spoiler alert!
So long story short, she's a Nigerian girl who goes off to uni and gives her life to Christ there. And then you follow her relationship journey from uni to out of uni to becoming a woman. There's some messy stuff in there, guys. Straight into what I learned then. This book has taught me so much that I think it's worth spending the entire episode discussing the content of the book based on what was learned. Firstly, kudos to Sarah, because as a writer I find it difficult to create imagery when it is a non-fictional piece of writing, but she does it so well. Her personality shines through and it's as if she takes you on a journey through a story. It could have been about her, it could have been about me. She is so dramatic and I love the way it comes across in the book. You can sense her personality and it feels like you've got a sister in the room just telling you about her life and advising you. I was really with her when she said, yeah, I'm gonna shoot my shot. Because I think it's about time that we shattered the idea that women can't let guys know how they feel. Though for me personally, I would never be comfortable with asking a man to marry me or even out on a date. I'm still willing to do the Ruth-like thing and, you know, lay at the feet of Boaz, theoretically speaking, and let them know that I'm interested. She is in a room with a guy, tells him,
we need to talk.
And then she runs off into another room and locks herself away and eventually texts him.
Like, I know we were just in the same room, but I just wanted to let you know that I like you.
Okay, fine. She shot her shot. She let him know. Oh my God. The world came crashing down when he replied us.
We are better off as friends.
Sarah, rightly so, she wasn't gonna stay where she wasn't wanted and she decided to date someone else in the same church. Rebound. Which I think to me is a knee-jerk reaction because you know what, you've been rejected, you want to believe that you're fine, okay, I'm ready to be in a relationship, let's jump into the next one. That used to be me as a teenager, so I can't blame her for that. If you watched episode 2, I spoke about the fact that I don't like when we're entering a different dimension of a book and I didn't even know we were going there. She made it very clear that she was going into the past and I really enjoyed the way that she did that. The Dear Diary inserts were a nice touch. The editor in me would have placed it more frequently or less frequently, either at the end of every chapter or at the end of every part of the book, just for some consistency, but it was a nice touch. I also love the way that she inserted scripture, but not from the very beginning. It was nice. I admire the way that she kept the things that Joseph shared with her in confidence, confidential, regardless of everything that Joseph put her through. These days, you get a lot of tell-all books where people decide to tell their life story. They just say everything that the person ever told them in secret and they break that trust that friendship is built on just because they're either no longer friends or it can make them a dime in the moment. That, top notch. With what my sister had told me about the book, I expected there to be domestic violence in it. I found myself feeling a little bit sad when the book was getting near to the end and I was like, but there's no domestic violence here. I felt terrible because I was wondering, why is it that a woman story felt less important because she hadn't been battered, but she rather escaped a situation where she would have most likely ended up being battered by this man. And it's terrible because that means that I'm kind of grading abuse because she went through quite traumatic emotional abuse by this man. I really feel bad for that. Okay, so the only part of the book that I didn't like too much was part 4 because it confused me. The book as a whole spoke so much about broken engagement and then all of a sudden out of left field there was the word annulment and avoiding the word divorce and I'm like,
wait,
Why? What happened?
I hated the fact that I had to recalculate the timeline so late in the book, and it didn't make sense to me because it was so chronological up until that point, apart from a few flashbacks, that the surprise elements, it just felt disjointed. But I did mention at the beginning that it did have a story-like vibe, so maybe it just works because of that. My favorite line in the book was page 88. Listen to this. Today people ask me, didn't I see the red flags? And in all honesty, to me there were no red flags. But the truth is, I couldn't see these signs because the biggest red flag was me. I said, what? She said, the biggest red flag was me. That just made me think it's so important to add that into the conversation, that sometimes we don't see it because the problem is in us, or at least part of the problem. I was thinking about relationships that I had been in where I was telling God, like,
it's okay, I can make do with if he does this or if he does that.
Knowing full well those are things that I have specifically, categorically said I do not want in a relationship or in a future marriage. It just brought light to the fact that in as much as we can see the wrong someone is doing, we need to be able to look within and be able to find the confidence to accept only what we deserve and step outside of situations where we are being treated less than. This is within relationships, yes, but also within jobs, other social settings, within friendships as well. We need to be able to step outside of the toxic environment and be able to say that, yeah, nah, mate, it's not for me.
As for me, this juicy princess, that's my mom's nickname for me. You cannot treat me like this.
And it's harder said than done, because when emotions are involved in things, when we have built something and we have seen a different side of somebody, it's absolutely difficult to say that, oh, you're not the person that I knew. Guys, let's take a minute to thank God that she finally got that annulment after 2 years. Oh, guys, who? At this point in the book, I dropped the book and I went on a rampage through my house. Joseph. How many times did I call you? How evil. Number one, you give an ultimatum because you want an annulment. And then you say that you filed the paperwork. Then you say you sent off the paperwork. Why is this paperwork not arriving after 6 months? Why is this paperwork not arriving after a year? And then one day we talk, you have the nerve to tell our Sarah.
That is because you were hoping you could get back together. Why? What foolishness?
Just doesn't make sense to me. I was so mad. Joseph, I got it together now. I'm okay. A little bit more of what I learned. False expectations get us nowhere. To acknowledge that something may not work might be the first step to making it work for you. Because when we can realize that there are problems in a situation, when we are willing to seek help and when we're willing to see the process through, it's more likely to work, even though it might still fail, but it's more likely to work. I mean, it's better than sticking your head in the sand and pretending that nothing's happening, because that one is bound to fail. In that long distance relationship, I wanted to call her silly for making excuses for the guy's behavior, but then God being God reminded me of the times where I was silly enough to do the same thing. So I was in this long distance relationship. I had liked this guy for so long. When we finally got together, I cherished it with everything that was within me. And I felt like he wasn't giving the same back. I was making lots and lots and lots of excuses on his behalf for not pulling his weight in the relationship. Communication was the biggest thing for me, where I felt like I was making time to be up till 4 o'clock in the morning to make sure that we were able to communicate within the week. But when it was his turn to sacrifice, there was always one excuse or another. So I eventually decided to break up with him after a long thought out message. Yes, a message. I'm sorry, he wasn't free for my calls, so I had to end the relationship. All he replied was, okay. Like, mumu. I feel bad for breaking up with you. So yeah, guys, she's not silly. Matters of the heart just work a bit differently, don't they? But then again, it just reinstates the fact that we do need to do research when it comes to these things so that we can ensure that we're putting our best foot forward moving in. And if the person on the other side isn't willing to pull the weight as much as you are, then why move forward? There are enough challenges in relationships and marriage. If we can't even start off on the right foot, then why are we gonna prolong this rubbish? So would I ever date long distance again? Maybe within the UK. When I say the UK, I wouldn't even date someone in Scotland, Ireland or Wales, so yeah. I guess I wouldn't do a long distance relationship again, no.
I just like simple things I can work hard at.
I don't play games. What is chasing? I'm too old to be playing tag. What is this one nonsense? Be chasing after people who aren't interested. It's just, it's, I don't I don't see it. It's not worth it. When it comes to long distance relationships, research. Why doesn't it work? What about us falls in line with the things that people say that didn't work for them? But wait a minute, let me just address a personal pet peeve. Why is it that they have a plan in place to talk to each other, and every time he is far enough away, he just never communicates, and then he makes it seem like it's her. I can't let someone know that you're done talking to them, even if it's without explanation. Don't be a coward. The person can hopefully take the hint and move on with their life and not think that there's actually something wrong that they need to work at. I'm not diagnosing anyone, but I think that's borderline narcissistic behavior. Over the past 5+ years, I've heard of a lot of broken engagements. I'm reminded of the fact that many people stay, and there are marriages that have started even though people were not sure. It's disobedience if you are sure in your heart that there's something wrong here and you just don't take the time to work on it and just enter the marriage anyway. If the problem started outside of marriage and you do not address it, you can't bring unexpected expectations into the marriage. You didn't expect it before. Why are you expecting it now? Address these things early. And if you need to leave, sister, brother, leave. Leave, not because of judgment or what all your parents, friends think and bringing shame to the family and all that. We will not die. We actually won't die. So please, if the relationship isn't for you, cut it off. 2 years, cut it off. 10 years, cut it off. In Christianity, it seems that we get into the marriage regardless of the red flags because of what people will think. But then those people aren't even people to support us in marriage. They come to the event, eat your food, they drink your drink, they insult your dress, and they go home. They don't babysit after they force you to have children. They don't help you to pay mortgage, even if they know you're going homeless. You won't even get couch to sleep on. Most of the times, for most people that attend people's weddings. And so I think it's time that culturally we begin to break down these walls and normalize, you know, leaving unhealthy relationships and normalize building healthy relationships. And this starts at friendship level. It doesn't just start in courting stages. It doesn't just start when we get married. It starts on friendship levels. It starts as aunts, as uncles. Oh my gosh, I'm old enough to not say that. Just friends and stuff. Wow. Yeah, it starts as aunts, as uncles, as mums, as dads, you know? Yeah, guys, let's break the norm. This book helped me to see so many flaws that I still have, because I saw myself in her and things that I thought I would never do and have done in the past, and things I probably still would fall into. So no one is exempt. Anyone can fall into the trap of being in a terrible choice of a relationship. It's so funny because as I was reading this book, I came across a tweet by @AbigailAngela. Church Christian culture surrounding dating, relationships and marriage is appalling. So much needs to be dismantled. To which I replied, especially in most African churches where cultural beliefs are taught as biblical principles. And by this I meant, we are taught to believe that certain aspects of culture, if we do not adhere to them, God would be disappointed in us. They teach women what to do, but they teach men what not to accept in marriage. And I think that starts us off on such an unequal footing, because there's a balance that needs to be made. We also need to be taught what we should not accept in marriage. They also need to be taught what they should be doing in marriage. And there's this balance that needs to come to show healthy relationships. There's this balance that needs to show that not every relationship looks the same. And just as God created each individual differently, so each relationship is different. However, these are the biblical principles that we stick to ensure that we remain at the heart of what God intended for marriage, that we are reflecting how Christ and the church should actually look, how the union between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is like in heaven. Because in our marriages, marriage as a ministry should reflect heaven. As it is in heaven, so it should be on earth, even in marriage. That's the standard. And if it's not it, we don't want it. We shouldn't want it. But these are the things I talk about at home, and I just think that it's so toxic because of these things in church. Sometimes you see that some of us are running away to ungodly spouses because it seems like they are freer. They're able to be themselves and just to be and be in a relationship and nurture a relationship better than we as Christians are. It's just built on so much church culture as opposed to godly principles. It's painful. Okay, I forgot I was talking about a book, you know. Got me my emotions. My review for the book is that I liked it.
It's my review. The review.
I'll be still, Lord, and know that you're